This is URN Sport.
First of all, to kick us off on the show, I'm delighted to be joined by the president of the University of Nottingham Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Society, Emma Bastin. How are you, Emma?
Good, how are you?
Very well, very well. So it's a sport we've never had on the Thursday Sports Show, as it happens. So for listeners who don't know much about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, just quickly tell them a little bit about the rules and the aim of the game.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. It's a pretty unknown sport at the moment, but it's being popularised by the UFC. So basically what it is, it's a ground fighting, grappling martial art. So we don't do any striking, so there's no punching, kicking, biting or anything like that. So we do takedowns similar to judo, and then we continue the fight on the ground. So the main aim of the game is to submit your opponent, whether that be through a choke, an armbar, a leg lock, basically making them so uncomfortable they tap out is the main aim.
So in what way does your sport differ from the standard jiu-jitsu?
They're really quite different. Japanese jiu-jitsu is the normal one, and they originated from fighting samurai soldiers. They do things like wrist locks and throws, but their main work is on standing. They do a little bit on the ground, but they're doing multiple enemies. We're doing that fight on the ground. It was based around street fighting, essentially.
That's very interesting stuff, learning about new martial art here. And how, in what way do you think, as president of the University of Nottingham Jiu-Jitsu, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Society, what way do you think it stands out among other more conventional martial arts?
Well, it's completely different because we don't have any of that standard. You don't have to learn any patterns or things like that you do in the others, which puts some people off. It's all based upon that sparring and about that technique. It's also quite different because you can be a lot weaker and a lot smaller than your opponent, but if your technique's way better, then you'll still beat them, which is quite cool.
Now, we're asking all University of Nottingham sports clubs here on the sports show, have you been able to benefit yet from the new David Ross Sports Village facilities?
Yeah, we have. We've got an extra training session there, so we train 2 hours over in the new dojo, which is beautiful, and then we have our other two sessions over at Jubilee, so it's got a nice mix.
So it certainly sounds that way. And how does your competition work as well? You mentioned about the University of Nottingham holding a national jiu-jitsu championship when we spoke earlier.
Yeah, so we have all the universities that compete in BJJ, they'll come over here, do a competition. We also do competition around the country, and they work by, you'll have a certain amount of minutes depending on your belt level, so let's say 5 minutes, and in that time your aim is to submit your opponent if you can to win. If not, you get points for how good your position, so if you're in mount, side control, that sort of thing, you'll get more points and win the fight that way.
And when is this this event taking place?
11th of March in the new sports centre. So
we'll be very much looking forward to that next year coming up. And just to touch on your training and how much interest did you get from the Freshers' Fair? Did you get lots of new members signing up?
Yeah, we got loads of new interest, loads of people coming out curious as to what it was. And it's great, we've got quite new sign-ups, so that's great. And some more girls, which is always nice.
Fantastic stuff. And in terms of socials as well, do you do the standard Wednesday crisis or what's the format? Do you have more non-drinking events as well?
Yeah, we're not too much of a big drinking society. What we tend to do is a bit quieter. We'll go to the pub after, so just have a bit of a meal, talk and do stuff like that. We also run sort of socials like around Christmas time, just going out, having fun, more stuff like that. And we also, it's not quite a social, but we're doing Halloween Jiu-Jitsu on Halloween, which I'm very excited about.
That sounds very, very exciting indeed. And if people want to get involved with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu but didn't have the opportunity to do so earlier in the year, how can they do so now?
They can pop along to one of our sessions, which are Monday, Tuesdays and Fridays. And the first session is free, so there's nothing to lose, really.
Can I just ask as well, I'm intrigued, how did you first get into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? Was it something you did before uni, or was it something you discovered while you were here?
It was something I very much discovered while I was here, sort of scrolling through the SU website, looked at that, like, oh, I've never heard of that, and popped along. Wasn't exactly what I expected, but it was a lot more fun and I met some great people, so I stuck with it.
Perfect.
Excellent stuff. And you mentioned as well you play for a couple of other local clubs as well. Is it a big kind of martial art in Nottingham in particular, or is it something you feel is on the up in the UK in general?
Yeah, it's definitely on the up in the UK in general, what with it being mentioned in the UFC so much. And in Nottingham it's quite big because the Gracie Baja, which is where I train occasionally as well, has got quite a good reputation.
Now we're going to move on to the University of Nottingham Bucks Roundup.
It was a successful week on the second Bucks Wednesday of the season for the University of Nottingham, with 60% of matches won.
Badminton won 4 out of their 6 encounters, including 2 7-1 triumphs over Birmingham and Worcester for our women's first and third teams.
The men's basketball first achieved a narrow victory against Cambridge, whilst women's first lost 39-57 at home to Nottingham Trent.
In football, it was 5 wins and 2 draws and 1 defeat for the Green and Gold, including 5-0 and 6-2 victories against De Montfort and Oxford. Our hockey's men's second beat Leicester first 12-0 at home.
It was 2 wins and 2 defeats for our netball side, while our rugby league men's first and second won 82-0 and 92-0 respectively.
It was an exciting 25-25 draw at home for our men's fourths against Birmingham thirds in rugby union, while in squash our women's seconds and thirds and fourths all won their games by a 3-1 margin.
Our tennis teams won 8 out of their 9 matches yesterday, while it was 2 wins against Oxford and Oxford Brookes away in water polo.
That's your Bucks roundup for week 2. The University of Nottingham finished the week top of Bucks rankings with 1,602 points in total.
First of all, I think we've got to mention the fact that it's been a terrific start to the season from the University of Nottingham. First in the league, first in the Bucks rankings already, with 1,602 points. So a brilliant start there. Sam, which of those teams' results really stood out for you this week?
I think that the main one we touched on it in the roundup was the tennis team. Again, they were excellent last week. They've made a really strong start to the season, especially given that you look at the men's first 2/5 all won, their fifth team winning 12-0 against Leicester's seconds, which just shows once again the incredible depth that we have here at the University of Nottingham. As well as that, sort of keeping it racket sports, squash won, I think, 7 out of 9. Table tennis did actually lose a couple this week. One of them was the Nottingham thirds lost to the Nottingham seconds, so there had to be a loser in that one, unfortunately. And we did lose to Trent as well, but that was the women's fifths against the Trent seconds, so you know, that's a 4 team difference, so there's no shame in that whatsoever.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, by the table tennis team standards, you would say it may be a blip this week, but nonetheless, some fantastic victories there, and very unlucky to get the points in some of the other games. James, which of the games really stood out for you?
Can I just make a point of the actual position? Because it's not been made enough. We're first.
I know, it's crazy.
What? Well, how's this happen? We're never first.
I've never. I was the first time I've ever known us to be first.
I've been here for 4 years, and I'm sure this is the only time we've ever been first.
Phenomenal stuff. I mean, I probably didn't play it enough, given that I thought it was so early in the season, so maybe we shouldn't be judging our position so early.
I'm just going to say 2 words right now: Leicester City. That's all I'm saying.
But it's, you know, the football team, especially this week, isn't it? Like, because last year, football, I think they struggled with consistency, but it's generally, you know, when there's just one loss in that group, and it's not like when you talk about one loss, but there were 2 games or whatever. You know, there's a decent amount of games in there. I think there's 7 games and only 1 defeat there against strong opposition. So that's really good from the football team. And I think the men's ones are unbeaten already. So that's pretty good going, considering they've struggled for form lately.
I think that's huge for us in Bucks this season, because when I followed it closely last year, the football team were often not particularly in great form. I remember when we interviewed them for Varsity, and the captain said they hadn't had the strongest season, particularly in Bucks, and that worried them slightly for going into Varsity. But as you say, James, looking so far this season, they've looked incredibly strong, and clearly something has been changed or been done about last season's struggling for form, and they've really come out of the blocks flying.
Rugby league as well, you got to mention, because there were 2 away fixtures at local rivals, essentially. It's no Trent, but Leicester and Derby, you know, they're just around the corner. And an 82 and 92 nil victory, that's pretty good going from both of them, because they're not pushovers, those sides.
It's that 174 for naught on aggregate across 2 games, which really isn't bad scoring at all, is it?
Yeah, no points conceded in any of those games. Another sport I'd like to touch on as well is hockey. For all their teams, they've had a fantastic week, haven't they, Sam?
Yeah, it was one I was just going to point out. The only games they either drew or lost were against Birmingham and Loughborough, who are, you know, 2 of the unis that are right up there with us as being the pinnacle of sporting excellence, but
below us at the moment, though.
Below us, up there with us, but below. That's the important part. But no, a lot of other strong victories. I mean, the men's fifths beating Bedford firsts 3-2, the men's fourths beating UC Birmingham's firsts 8-0. I mean, it's just that depth again, which I really do find quite extraordinary. How these third, fourth, and fifth teams—they're not just winning; they're rattling off big victories against.
Yeah, you look at the calibre of the opposition, and we really are putting them to bed, aren't we? To mention a defeat, maybe a significant one this week, the women's first basketball team lost 39-57 to Trent.
No.
Which will hurt them badly,
that
I would assume.
James badly.
No, that really hurt. Like, we're good at basketball.
Mm.
Our women's basketball team, you used to be able to rely on them week on week. I'm really surprised by that. That's a really good spot there, Joe. I've long since stopped checking the women's basketball results, assuming we'd won. But no, that's really significant, especially against Trent coming into varsity at the end of this year.
Hi, I'm Lauren Herrier, your SU Sports Officer, and you're listening to URN Sport.
We attended the University of Nottingham Super League futsal game on Sunday night. It was a 3-1 defeat, unfortunately, for the University of Nottingham against Birmingham in the new David Ross Sports Village. And we spoke to futsal president Sam McGrath after the game, and this is what he had to say.
All right, Sam, it was an exciting game, 3 when it finished, but I think you'll feel you could have got something from it.
Yeah, definitely. We had the chances to, and I don't think we were ever particularly outclassed. We didn't use the ball well enough, but I think particularly the last 5 minutes, we definitely had some chances and we went flykeeper. I'm just gutted. Birmingham probably came as close as they'll ever come to a defeat this season.
Yeah, because they haven't lost in 2 years. Didn't really look like it out there. It looked pretty even.
No, it was the same as last year. They hate playing us at home. We seem to have an effect on them. I don't know what it is. Probably to do with the crowd as well.
Yeah.
Getting on the backs.
Well, it's a decent crowd here at David Ross. It was sold out seating upstairs. Yeah. £0 a ticket, but it was full. How are you enjoying it at David Ross so far?
Policy of free season tickets is really going down the storm. I think it's definitely having an effect on our game. We've won one of our two games here, and that was the other game, a tight game against the top of the table. So I think it's definitely, particularly in training, the sessions are a lot quicker, you feel a lot more professional in training.
So flykeeper you tried for a bit. It paid off with your goal. Obviously, you went in goal and managed to grab one to put it to 2-1.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out too well on the first goal.
Yeah.
You got caught out. Was it a gamble that you had to take against a team like that?
Yeah, definitely. When you can't, obviously we were struggling to keep the ball 4-on-4. So that flykeeper just gives us some time with the ball, gives the defence a rest, because first half we must have defended 18 out of 20 minutes. So you've got to give the defence a rest at some point.
Yeah.
So that was the idea of flykeeper, to keep possession until kind of the last 5 minutes and then go for it with everything we could.
There was a red card, a very heated game. What did you make of it? And that seemed to almost be the turning point.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know what it is about this fixture, but I think that's 3 red cards in the last 2 games for Birmingham. I don't know if it might have been a tad harsh. Obviously, we were through on goal. And the referee blew up, so once he's blown up, he's got to give a red card, otherwise there's going to be questions asked, I think.
Well, it was Super League today, but it was Bucks yesterday.
Yeah.
How'd you got on quite well, I think. Different story.
Yeah, the Bucks ones stormed their game, 16-0 it ended up. So yeah, it was a really good start to our Bucks season.
One of those results when you write it down, you have to put the number in brackets afterwards. 16 brackets, S-I-S-T-A-E-N.
Yeah, it's always nice to do that.
Cool. And finally, just how do you think you're going to go for the rest of the season? Obviously, the result wasn't what you wanted, but the performance probably was.
Yeah, we just need to perform like that every week. If we perform like that every week, we've got a great chance of making top 4.
Perfect. Thanks very much, Sam.
James and Nick, you along with me, we were all at the game at the David Ross Sports Village on Sunday. It seemed to me like Birmingham Tigers were very much illustrious opposition, but the University of Nottingham definitely ran them close, didn't they?
Well, Sam made a point going into the game. He made it very clear that Birmingham were the favourites. He said to me that we weren't expected to win, and I went along with the impression from what he'd said to me that we were going to get trounced. But I think Sam picked up on it in the post-match interview there, that the performance was really something to take a lot of positives from. I think we played well. I think Roger, the coach, will be pleased with the manner in which we performed, especially when in my opinion, the first goal was very avoidable. We made a bargain effectively to try and go into the break 1-0 up. It backfired and we ended up going in 1-0 down. But then the response from there, particularly when the second goal went in for Birmingham, I thought was very positive. And when they went down to 10 men, I feel there was perhaps a little bit lack of invention going forward when they were a man down on the pitch, perhaps. But then when they went back up to full strength, they didn't then come back into the game and we looked very dominant. We obviously got our goal and then they scored, I think, with six seconds left on the clock. Mm. So not like 3-1, I think, flatters Birmingham.
Yeah, it was quite a frustrating period when Birmingham had gone down to 4 because you really thought that Uniov could push at that point. Unfortunately, they just seemed to play the possession game, try and break them down, but Birmingham were not a side you could easily break down. I mean, they've not lost in 2 years, so it was always going to be difficult. But they gave it, you know, it's a cliche, but they gave it their all. And I think, although the result will disappoint them, it's not to be unexpected, and the performance, very, very pleasing, I think. I don't think anyone who went to that game would think that one team hadn't lost in 2 years and the other team were expected to be trounced. It was a very even game, I thought.
This is URN Sport.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be joined at Highfields Park with the nutritionist at Notts County Football Club, Matt Lawson. So Matt, if you could quickly tell us a little bit about your role at Notts County and what it involves.
Hi there. So yeah, I've been at Notts County for 6.5 years now. Before that was here at University of Nottingham for 4 years, so I know what a great university this is, and it's a pleasure to be sort of back on campus. At Notts County, it's sort of a family community club, and we all get involved in different things. So I do wear more than one hat there. Principally, you know, my background, what I studied here, I'm a registered dietitian, I'm a nutritionist, and I'm very proud to do that role at the club, particularly with the academy, the young players, under 9s to under 16s. But during my time at the club, I've also, you know, I've worked at all levels with the first team players, under managers like Keith Curl, and under the ladies manager, Rick Passmore, when we got to the FA Cup final last summer and things. So varied role, do a lot of community work as well, so we do unbelievable work in schools and with charities and making sure we're there. Even things like, you know, we do ground tours, and it's just important that the club's open and inclusive. And obviously with the students here as well, we like to do student ticket offers and engage people, you know, particularly at URN, with everything that we're doing.
You mentioned your work in the community there as being really influential at the club, but on a personal level, you in fact gained something that was really a massive achievement over the summer, which was the UEFA B coaching badge. Tell us a little bit about your ambitions with the coaching badges and how proud you are of the achievements.
Yeah, I think it's like anything else, you know, football, if I'm honest with you and being candid, is still quite behind, certainly in this country. It's still a little bit about, you know, kind of the names perhaps rather than people's qualifications, but you know, I certainly want to go about it the proper way, so just getting as many qualifications as you can, really. I always say that when I come here and chat to other students, and the coaching badges are the same. You know, I like football coaching, I like to apply my sports science and nutrition qualifications in a football setting, and to do that I think you do need to go through the coaching badges, and I've gone through those badges, and the most recent one was the UEFA B license, and it was great to get that. Quite a tough thing to get, took me a year, and you know, you're under a bit of pressure with a microphone on and the video cameras on and your final assessment and everything you do in your session, your 45-minute session sort of gets looked at, but fortunately it was deemed competent, and I was really proud to get that. And you know, I'm just keen to, like I say, do as much coaching as I can, work with people, and then make sure I'm bringing in my background of sports science and that side of it into it, because I think coaching doesn't just need to be kind of how it's always been, like, you know, bombing the ball football forward and doing basic sort of old English football. I think the game's different now and it's more technical, and players are athletes now. They've got to cover lots of ground, and that's what fans want to see. And I'm looking to coach in the academy and hopefully build some of those links into the young players, so as they grow and develop, you know, they get better.
You mentioned the fact that footballers are now athletes there, and within your role at Notts County, of course, the main aspect is educating people about nutrition. You're in fact here at the University of Nottingham today doing exactly the same thing, I suppose, to University of Nottingham sportsmen and women. What kind of things will you be saying to them as a part of how nutrition plays such an important role in sport and their performances?
That's it. Yeah, it's great to be here tonight. I mean, I think the you know, it's sort of 7 o'clock till 8 o'clock tonight, and I think that shows you that just how, you know, the students. You know, I'm trying to remember when I was a student here, if I'd come out at that time when I had to sort of listen to somebody. But I think it's just the numbers that we've got in the room packed upstairs shows that people are willing to get the advice, even at this, like I say, late on in the evening. People are, I've got a thirst for knowledge these days, and people want to find out about sports nutrition and how it can help them. And University of Nottingham, very, very successful in terms of sport, and hopefully by giving some sport science and sport nutrition education to them, you know, they can really use that and help the performance in the books leagues.
Do you find that the importance of nutrition varies on in variation to which what level of sport people play, or is it very much a kind of consistent basis between professional and buck sport or semi-pro? Do they kind of all take nutrition into consideration, would you say, more so nowadays?
I think it's the fastest growing area at the moment, isn't it, in terms of sports performance. So people kind of all got talent if they're playing a sport, and many people now are getting the proper coaching, and we can see the facilities here at Highfields. It's incredible, the facilities here, and that's in place. And I think nutrition has been shown to be the next most important thing that improves performance. So you are what you eat, and you know what you put in your car gets it to A, from A to B. It's just like your body. You've got to fuel yourselves with the right foods and drinks to maximize performance. Definitely depends on which level you're at, but to be honest, these days, international level and Premier League level, for example, even the Championship, this is all being done, so most of the teams are using this now and getting those benefits. But the lower down you go, my argument, for example, at Notts County, sort of League Two, and here at the university, the sports teams, perhaps at the lower levels, lots of teams still haven't quite awoken up to the benefits of it, and therefore the teams that do it are going to get even more benefit because their opposite numbers probably won't be. So most goals, for example, in football are scored in the last 10 minutes, and if one team's, you know, hydrated, had a good pre-match meal, got the correct diet, is lean and healthy, low body fat levels and so on, it's more likely to be your team then that goes on and scores that winning goal in the last few minutes.
You yourself, you studied here at the University of Nottingham on the Sutton Bonington campus during your time here. How much change and progression have you seen within the University of Nottingham sport? Of course, now this year we've got the David Ross Sports Village, which is completely new and will offer a wide range of opportunities to students here in terms of sport.
It's just a brilliant university. I mean, I had a great 4 years here, and coming back though, it's just mind blowing actually what's been improved, because we had good facilities back then, but like you say, the new David Ross Sports Village is just incredible, world class facilities. Sutton Bonington campus, where I spent a lot of time, beautiful campus still, and yet it's been improved so much. Again, there's a state of the art facilities there for sport and everything else, so things are on the up, and it seems that the university's only building and building. It's always been a top 10 university, and I know for sport it's on the up as well. You know, got into the top 5 for sports universities last year, and I know it's in the top 1% of universities around the world. So very much a global university, and like I say, I'll always be a massive fan of it. I'm very proud to have studied here in Nottingham and stayed in Nottingham and be from the area. And I think the University of Nottingham is so important to the city, and hopefully it can just keep improving, keep the investment coming in, keep improving the facilities, because, you know, students now, you know, paying more for the degrees, expecting more. There's more student athletes doing bursaries, a bit like the American system, than ever before. And, you know, it's become a performance culture now, and that's really wonderful to see.
This is URN Sport.